shithead.
Yep.
The genesis of Magilla Tutty.
I have to pack the brain and be the
ultimate warrior.
Look at the adjective. Play.
Can't run to Spanish. Finally, The Rock has come back home.
I'm back.
The boys are back in the saddle on a different platform. So the Atomic Drop Show rides again on YouTube.
Did you miss me? Oh, how I have missed you.
You can talk a little wrestling with us by calling 803-369-3537.
You're going to give me what I want. I've been asking for it for years.
And now here are your hosts, Justin Time and Kyle Cruz.
Paul, say something stupid.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
Justin, this would be the part where you talk.
Oh, sorry. I was waiting for the mouse to wiggle.
I was wiggling.
It was a delay. So, all right, and away we go on episode number 8 on YouTube. This is the Atomic Drop Show. On today's show, we will be discussing the fact that are there still sunny days going on around here? Mm. Or are there just cloudy with the man who was somehow paralyzed? Also, up on the show tonight, WWE fans are confused. How, you may ask? Are they in a hockey match or are they at a WWE event? We will talk about the glass barricades that are up surrounding the arena. And also, have you seen my horse? All that and more on the Atomic Drop Show. I am your charming, colorful, and oh-so-handsome host, Justin Time, and currently alongside me all the way out in sunny California or Orlando, it's late, is my co-host Kyle Cruz. Kyle, how you doing?
You were right there, man. I was tracking with you, man. Like, that was a really good job. Right up until you said California. Now, I got to say, right about now with Tropical Storm, was it Rhonda?
Bertha.
Yeah, okay.
Bertha.
Well,
not Rhonda Hurricane.
Well, with Tropical Storm Bertha barreling down on us, I would much rather be in California at the moment. Otherwise, I'm doing all right, man. It's been a rough week, but we here and that's all right. How about you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. We've had some beautiful, outstanding, unseasonably amazing weather up here in Rochester. If you can even fathom such a thought, these words coming out of my mouth. We've been up into like the mid to high 90 or mid to low 90s. We've had some humidity, like nothing but crystal clear skies. It's like if literally we got the Orlando weather shoved all the way up here.
And it's you basically just stole our weather. That's pretty much what it
sounds
like.
Damn right I did.
Well,
seasonal
look,
depression, my ass. Come on. Hey, I waited all year for this.
Wait. So I think I might have caught that too. So we can exchange any moment now. I'd be okay with that.
No.
All right. Well,
no.
I'd be
more than happy to sit here, sweat and swalter, and just perspirate all over my keyboard than go back to dreary, unseasonable, cool, mind-numbing temperatures.
By all means, enjoy this time. So I can't hate you for it, man. Enjoy it.
Oh, trust me. I got myself a nice little tan going too. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling good. Been outside every day, smoking up some meat, using my Reload Rubber.
I saw you post on Instagram, and I'm like, all right, out there on the look, you're out there. I had said next time I see you, okay, like we're going half on smoker duty. Like it has to be a thing. So
you know what? I'm ecstatic because I want a black man to touch my smoker because they make the best ribs. So I have high expectations coming from you.
So I'm going to let you know right now, I've never made ribs before in my life. So once I go up there, and if you have the best ribs you've ever tasted, you know, there's just something special about the touch. Has to be.
I have a feeling you'll begin contact with Joel and Stacy over there as quick as possible before you come up and do a quick 3-2-1 lesson on these ribs here.
Oh man, I'm gonna need the crash course. I will need the crash course for real, for real. No doubt about it.
But yep, it's been great. Like I said, been smoking, doing just a whole lot of sunning, a lot of outdoor stuff, trying to get the pool all set up and ready to go. You know, just typical homeowner stuff. The reason why we were delayed this week was because I was putting together a futon. Go figure, right?
Yeah, a futon. Yeah, what kind of... What? Look, so ever since this whole quarantine thing started, and truth be told, even before that, you've gone on all these different kind of adventures and you know, and you've been doing these home improvement projects and all this kind of stuff. A futon? Really? Is that something you did on your own volition, or was this like Mrs. Time that asked you to do this? Be honest, man. It's just us.
Oh, Mrs. Time said at 7:30, 8 o'clock, she said, let's put this futon together. And I went, okay.
When you're in those positions, you have one choice. And
that is to listen to her.
Absolutely. I understand that. Mrs. Cruz also hands me those suggestions / orders / whatever you want to call them to. So I completely get it.
You know what? It's done. It's set up. We were able to get together in a little bit of a record time. I figured took about an hour and 15 minutes or so. So it was good up on us right there.
Now I have to ask, was this futon part of that massive haul you made?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Fantastic. So I know there's a lot to get into, and this is probably going to be somewhat of an abbreviated show, but I got to ask, how did that go? How was that experience?
That was an experience.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I did send you over that photo, and that photo I sent you did not do it all justice. It filled up the bed of a 10-foot pickup truck and also stuffed the inside of the pickup truck. And we also stacked on top of the pickup truck. And it was an adventure.
Bam. It is too much damn stuff. That's still my comments to this day. Ridiculous.
The rent's too high and too much damn stuff.
Oh, that's a throwback. But yes, indeed. So did you get a chance to sit on it?
Literally, I sat on it. We both looked at each other and we went, little bit firm. I'll definitely say we both agreed that we are definitely plush people. We like to kind of sink into our furniture and just kind of.
Oh, just give it some time.
Oh, yeah. I figure the kids will sit there and I'm sure we'll break that thing in tenfold.
Absolutely. You know, speaking of furniture, we actually had to go and buy some new couches over the weekend as well. Our good old trusty couch, our main sofa is pretty much done for. So we went out.
Seen better days.
It has seen better days, and but yeah, we are starting brand new, and you know, just one of the things about furniture stores is like, you know, they have all this furniture, but like,
well, that's what they do at furniture stores. But please continue.
Well, yeah, but they have all this showroom furniture, yet all of their like warehouses are like 3,000 miles away.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
Dude, like you could never say, okay, yeah, I'm going in to buy a bed or buy a sofa because, you know, I need these things. Oh, yeah, well, that's going to be another month. Okay, well, what if this is, you know, a relative emergency? Well, you know, there's a Target down the street.
There is a Target or a Rent-A-Center. Rent-A-Center is quite popular.
There is a Rent-A-Center. So I've actually never tried Rent-A-Center.
I have not either, but I'm quite curious.
I am too. There's a couple of them over here by my humble abode. But either way, man, happy for your haul, futon included. Is your mirror still intact?
There was also a recliner in there too that we kept.
Now, is it a Steiner recliner?
I loved how you swung it right there. It is not a Steiner. It is, we believe, one of them great mainstays brands from Walmart recliners.
Hey, yo, Mainstay is a great brand, brother. Yo, like, there's something about the Walmart brands and the Target brands. You know, like, look, people can say whatever they want, but to me, they are reliable. As a matter of fact, well, we don't have the cameras up yet, but basically all of our shelves are like Mainstay shelves because they're really like reliable, and we've had them for like 9 years, and they haven't given us any kind of problems yet. So shout out to them. Now you started on. Or you continued on about the recliner, but you skipped over the question.
Yeah.
Is your marriage still intact?
Because, very much so.
See, building things with your, you know, girlfriend or your spouse or whatever, it's the worst. It can be the worst.
It's the best experience.
We actually put that together. Yeah. Ha, 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 ha. She knew that what time it was, and we were in a time crunch. So she helped me put that thing together, and we were able to conquer half of it pretty well on time. So I was very fortunate to be here now, because without her help, this would have turned into like an 11:30 job, and we would have probably recorded around then, or I would have fell asleep on the recliner, one or the other. More so the latter.
Probably the latter. But hey, happy you got through it, and it is all good. Wow. 10 minutes in, and haven't talked a lick of wrestling yet, so that's quite on brand for us. My fault, because I'm an inquisitive guy, and so I had to know about the futon.
We have not spoken since last Thursday when we did this show.
This is true, man. Lots been going on, man. A lot's been happening, so it's... So this time is as much of a time as any to actually catch up. So
just in time.
Just in time.
As we said at the top of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, nope. As we said at the top of the show, Joel and Stacy, proud sponsors of the Atomic Drop Show, with their magnificent, outstanding, out of this world, mind numbing, slap your mama kind of spices, Reload Rub and Seasoning. Make sure you pick up a bottle. Go to reloadrubandseasonings.com, keyword Atomic Drop. Save yourself 10% at checkout. You've heard us before. We've shilled it. We've been selling it. I still got 12 bottles of what the hell do I got? I got
not it's the high caliber.
Yes, thank you. Brain fart. God, it's going to be a fun show tonight. Verbal diarrhea is going to be coming out. But I have 12 of those. We're going to be giving those away, hopefully rather soon. We got to sit down and think about how we want to give these out. Originally, we were going to do the Ask Reddit Anything question, but that's still up for debate and what we can end up doing. But until that point in time, I'm sitting on 12 big bottles of the Magnum. And is it the Magnum? I don't remember. High caliber.
The high caliber. Jeez. Bro. But high look, caliber. Now look, I mean, look, we can go down the entire slate because they're all good. But I believe it is high caliber, 12 bottles of the high caliber. That is one of, I mean, look, they're all my favorites. Nothing is topping Double Action, but High Caliber, it is right up there. This garlic chipotle blend, it has just a little bit of kick. As a matter of fact, I actually put it. So look, I'm a chicken guy.
Tell me what you did with it.
Go figure, right? So I'm trying to do this whole meal prep thing, right? So I'm trying to eat healthier. Thankfully, yeah. This camera is not on because you will see. Mm. You know, I'm a plump fella, even more so than when you saw me last year. But you know, I'm trying to eat healthy. You know, so I'm like, all right, I'm having these veggies, I'm having brown rice, I'm having this, you know, this blah food. And so I'm like, okay, look, I got this chicken. I need to do something to spice it up.
So tell me what you did, man.
Look, I'm going to treat myself. Now, I'm a blend guy, okay? Like, I like to mix and match. To me, it comes down to these two flavors. And I already know, you already know, where I'm going with it. You mix the double action with the packing heat. Because I love my spice, I love my heat, but you have that double action, which is this sweet, smoky flavor. And so when you combine mm-hmm. the two, and then you, so now, I don't have, you know,
I know about one of those professional, life.
Absolutely. See, I don't have that, you know, have that professional grill, have that professional smoker, but, you know, I make do with what I have. And so you grill that chicken up, you know, you know, I'm not going to give away my family secret as far as like how I like prepare my chicken, but you slap some of that reload rub on there, get that concoction just right. It's a certain amount what do you call them? There's a certain amount of not swings, but you know, a couple of, you know, when you shake the spice out, you know, there's right. a certain amount of shakes, and then it just comes out perfectly every single time. I'm going to have to patent it. All right. Like, it's going to be a straight up Kyle Cruz
Do
blend.
It.
Just those two, because it's incredible. And it's an incredible combination on chicken. And so I've been having that this entire week, and legitimately it has saved my healthy lunches over the past week. It goes on everything. We're not BSing. It happens all the time. We use it all the time. It is a staple in the Time household. It is a staple in the Cruz household. Make it a staple of yours. Go to reloadrub.com. Go save yourself 10%. Enter in what promo code again?
Atomic Drop. This fine, amazing podcast that you hear is sponsored with the promo code Atomic Drop. ReloadRubAndSeasoning.com.
Save yourself 10% right now. And speaking of right now, you can call us up. Be part of the show. Call us up 803-369-3537. That is 803-369-3537. Talk a little wrestling with us. Talk a little life with us. Whatever you want to talk about. You already know. Call up your boys and chat us up a little bit.
So before we even get going, I want to tell you about this purchase I just made.
Okay.
It's unpaid sponsor right here. Actually, probably two things because I have to follow up. I purchased the Manscaped razor.
Ah, that's
a couple
right.
episodes back there.
That's right. Well, so what's the report? How is it?
It's a rather smooth little razor right there. I was able to before I took care of some business. I decided to trim up my beard a little bit there. You haven't seen me, but I kind of took it back pretty good for these hot summer days that we had coming here.
Sure.
So I'm going to sit here and I'm going to let it regrow out, kind of give it some fresh life. And I have not regretted that decision.
So look, they are not a paid sponsor, so we're not going to put them over. But is it worth it?
Totally.
Fantastic. I've been seeing it, and you know, I've been going back and forth. I think I might have to do it. I think
get that 3.0 lawnmower, baby. Get that 3.0 is high caliber. Not
now you remember high caliber. Gotcha.
I know, not to be confused with our reload and our official sponsor, but that this bad boy comes with its own little headlight too, and it's like It seriously takes care of some serious business.
What? Duly noted. Duly noted.
And I want to mention this second thing that I purchased here.
God.
I have purchased a couple days ago. It was for about $5. It is called a Circle watering system. Okay? Circle okay. Spelled C-I-R-K-U-L. Circle.
Eek.
And right. What you end up doing is it is flavor water. And it's not just like any kind of flavored water here. So they send you a water bottle, which is pretty cool. Nice 12-ouncer or so. And they send you a screw top. And then what they end up doing is, you know those like Brita filters and whatnot? That you probably sit there and put inside your Brita filter and
right.
Or those portable ones, the portable Brita filters. How about that one? You see them?
I've seen those. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. They got the built-in filter. You sit there and swap them out. So this Circle takes that same idea, except with a filter. They have this screw top where you will put in your flavor instead of a filter. So all you're drinking is your flavored water, and it has a range of 1 to 9 on how much flavor you want to put into your bottle. So if you want a whole lot of flavor, you go to 9. You want just like a hint of it, you go down to like around a 2 or a 3. I'm kind of a 3 kind of individual, because I think if anything higher than that just gets a little too sweet, and I like sweet stuff, but it's just not flying for me. But I endorse these guys here. It's at DrinkCircle, CIRKUL.com. And if you go there, they have a trial pack where they will send you for just $5. You pay for the shipping, and that's it. It's a hell of a deal. And I talked to Mrs. Time, and she gave me her blessing that I actually went out and I bought another bottle and a whole bunch more of these refills here, because the kids are just going bananas for them. And I cannot explain how happy I am that now that summer months are here, trying to get them off the milk a little bit, trying to get them a little bit more hydrated. So as a parent, I can honestly tell you, it's a pretty damn cool investment. They have a whole bunch of different kind of bottles there. They got stainless steel bottles there. They got plastic bottles. They got ones that are a little bit more grippy that you can sit there and kind of squeeze like a sports bottle. All are phenomenal products. Just check them out for $5. It's a free, you get a free sample for literally for shipping. You pay the cost of shipping, send it right to your door. If you like it, it's great. If not, you just cancel your subscription. That's my shameless plug.
Shameless plug, Circle. DrinkCircle.com. And I'm actually on the website. Actually sounds quite interesting. Good for the parents. Good for the kids as well. Seemingly, that's not an active endorsement on my part. But I might have to check this out too. So thanks for the tip. Like, how'd you hear about it again? How'd you, like, what? Because these aren't the newest things, right?
No, I came up through my Instagram feed.
So just the Instagram feed, just, you know, just scrolling.
Randomly showed up. Yep, there.
And it just showed up.
Drink Circle. Nice. And I went, you know what, how can you not, too? And plus, if there is a big demand for this, too, there is also a way that you can save, like, $5 on refills and whatnot, too, if I refer you. So...
Hey, okay. All right. So, duly noted. I have a couple of things to get done on my checklist at the moment. So, very good.
DrinkCircle.com. Go ahead, save yourself some money. Try it out free. Pay $5 shipping.
Can't beat that. You really can't.
All right. Enough with the shilling here. We are how many minutes in now? 20 minutes?
Best not to talk about it.
All right, cool.
I believe we are like 22 minutes in, like 23, 24 minutes in.
Excellent. All right. Excellent.
Cool beans.
So with all of that said and done, what a week in wrestling, huh? I mean, I forgot to even mention this in the top of my headlines. completely slipped my mind. It is actually probably the best week in professional wrestling.
How so?
None other than one Drew Gulak has re-signed with WWE. And this is right where the applause button would be going like completely bonkers on my part.
Yeah, Drew Gulak. So you didn't get a chance to talk about him, parting ways with WWE, and not even 2 weeks later, he's back with the company. Shout out to Gulak, man. Talk about your boy.
Man, I literally jumped with joy and probably peed a little bit when I saw that he re-signed too. And I'm hoping he just goes immediately right back with Daniel Bryan, because those two are the quintessential peanut butter and jelly of WWE. You talk about your Sasha and your Baileys, your Peytons and your Billy Kays. Nah, Bryant and Gulak are my 1-2 punch for the best technical style wrestling this side of Bret Hart. Having him leave, I remember we had a little bit of a situation about 2 episodes ago where I couldn't speak my part yes. about Mr. Gulak. But having him come back was the icing on the cake. Like, I've preached about him enough. I loved his PowerPoint presentations. I loved his no-fly zone. I loved that he was a ground-and-pound kind of guy. He reminded me of, like, a one-man revival, where he's, like, no-fly zone. Was it all fists, no flips? Same premise. I mean, he would have fit right in with the revival there, at least in my opinion, with his mantra that he had going on.
Drew Gulak, he's
a stud.
He was absolutely a stud. It was like he is, and the fact that that he was re-signed so quickly shows his value, and I think he has a ton of it. He would have been valuable in AEW, in Ring of Honor, in Impact, or wherever. I mean, he could have gone to Japan, and I mean, it would have been, sky's the limit for Drew Gulak. But I'm glad he's back, you know, after a very brief absence, back to WWE, and hopefully the whole storyline with him and Daniel Bryan that can continue. Because yeah, I freely admit I wasn't. And I'm not a frequent watcher of 205 Live. I hadn't been, so I missed a lot of Gulak's prime run, unless he was on, you know, the pay-per-view pre-shows and things like that. And when I saw him during those events, I liked him a lot, but I just never really sought him out. I've met him, I've talked to him. One of the coolest, nicest dudes you'll ever see. And then, you know, when you saw him interact with Daniel Bryan, you kind of just, it's almost like this weird dichotomy of he's such, like, he's just this ruthless kind of guy in the ring. And then you see him, you know, just being really goofy and obnoxious with Bryan on the outside. And that is a dope dynamic. That's fantastic. And so, let's return that, or like, let's get back to that. Let's return to that. Hopefully starting tomorrow night on SmackDown.
You said it right there. This best, the camaraderie that these two have, they remind me very much of Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor together.
Hey, where are white women at? One of my favorite movie lines of all time. Hey, where are the white women at? I love it. I love it. Anyway, that was a really good comparison, actually. Really good comparison. Yeah, they are really good together, and yeah, we will see. I would hope to see Gulak in contention for, and you know, for an Intercontinental Championship run, you know, something like that. You know, since he's clearly out of the cruiserweight division, you know, to just really see him, you know, step forward, and hopefully they will give him a push, because they obviously didn't sign him for less money. I think they'll want to get their money's worth, and he's proving his worth outside the ring, even more so in these last few months. What, since like February, something like that, since around the Elimination Chamber?
He's shined. I mean, he is the diamond in the rough, and WWE knew that they had to keep him.
Absolutely.
I mean, they 2 weeks to have somebody re-sign just like that out of a blink of an eye, you knew something special was coming out of him.
That's true. 100%. 100%.
I mean, it set me off. I was happy. I was ecstatic. I mean, I was happy. It was a good week for professional wrestling. And you know what else would made it a good week, too? Well, I should say, not a good week.
What is that?
Did you hear about this whole Sunny situation?
All right, so what's the deal with Sunny? You kind of have to fill me in. I know the only thing I know is she has an OnlyFans, and I don't really know much else beyond that.
Well, Tamara Stitch, as she likes to go now, bye. She was voicing her opinion on some current world events that have been going on there.
Oh, this can't be good.
Oh, no. And what ended up happening was, now, mind you, I before I even speak to, we've had Tammy on our show before. She was fantastic. Still is fantastic if we ever get her back on.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she's problematic, but sure. I get it.
Totally, totally problematic. Poor girl's got some problems. But you know what? Who says that we all don't have problems? And with that, she sent out a fan sat and sent off a tweet. And I'm going to try to sit here and find the tweet that she sent out to a fan. Real quick, real fast. Let's see what we go right here. You know what?
Will not be good. I can only imagine what kind of foolishness she's going to be talking about.
I know. There it is. Found it. And I quote, Sonny Mox and blocks paralyzed stroke victim.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So, let's see right here. According to ringsizenews.com, Sunny has made a lot of interesting decisions throughout her WWE Hall of Fame career. Some of those choices have landed her behind bars for nearly a year. Not 3 months out of the clinker, Sunny is pulling over six figures for her OnlyFans account. She has a ton of support from the fans for her Not Safe for Work activities. Some aren't overly exciting for her, as one fan put it. I am a fan of at WWE Hall of Famer Sunny ever since ECW, and that's the reason I follow her. But this perversion she has lowered herself for is sad to see. I'm not against the adult industry as a whole, but just disappointed one of my idols is sinking this low. So we already know that this is not going to end well.
I mean, it didn't really start well, because the guy, well, I have my own opinions on that, but how did the response go? Because I'm sure that was going to, like, that's going to be significantly worse than what was originally said.
Oh, yes. Sunny fired back at this fan, tweeting, bragging about how much money she's pulling in. This is a popular go-to for her nowadays. She obviously doesn't have time to listen to any detractors. And I quote, sinking this low? How does 93,000 in 5 weeks sound to you? Better than what you're doing, huh? You know, it could have been worse. But
It could have, but that doesn't mean that you should have said it.
Right.
There's
still more.
Oh, never mind. Please continue.
Then the fan replied to Sunny, let her know that he had a stroke that nearly killed him, and now he's paralyzed from the stroke as well. He doesn't have any money, but he does, but he doesn't need to buy respect or happiness. And the fan is quoted, I'm happy with my life at WWE Hall of Famer Sunny. I survived a stroke that almost killed me. I'm paralyzed from it. Do I have money? No. But money does not buy respect and happiness. I meant no disrespect, just stating my opinion as a fan. Sunny replied to him by blocking him.
Oh, no. No, no.
And that is right where it ends, right there.
Wow. So I suppose it could have been worse. You know, she could have just, you know, just gone in and, you know, made fun of him. And but we're not going to celebrate, you know, how worse it could have been. You know, if you're going to flaunt, like, especially now, we are still in the middle of a pandemic where a lot of people have lost their jobs. Tens of millions of people are on unemployment, and you're going to flaunt that you made $93,000 in 5 weeks. Now, look, sex work is work. Like, I fully stand by that position. I don't think that should necessarily be shamed, but
you're just saying that because you came from California.
Yes. Well, no, I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't have any personal experience either way, but I'm just saying that
Kyle Kreese coming out and never mind.
Hey, look, all of my prior days as a phone sex operator. See, that's how the jokes. Nope. Off air. Bottom line is this. You know, that kind of work is legitimate work, but to basically flaunt that, especially now, read the room. And, you know, if some people attack what you're doing, look, you're a celebrity. I'm not saying it doesn't sting, but there has to be some level of control and some level of poise you have to show. This isn't one of those you asked for it kind of situations. We know she has thick skin because she's had to deal with a lot of things during her wrestling career, and probably even more so after leaving it, with, you know, just her various relationships, in wrestling, outside of wrestling, doing the porn, you know, and then, you know, switching to doing private Skype phone calls and now OnlyFans. You know, she's faced all kinds of accusations and all kinds of, you know, just rumors and just salacious things said about her. So, yeah, you just gotta let that roll off your back. All right, like, you know, just treat it like a duck's ass and let it roll off you. That's pretty much it.
So I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, I don't want to speak ill about her because everybody's had a rough life.
Absolutely. And
it's we just want her to be happy. Plain, short, and simple.
I mean, yeah, but happiness doesn't necessarily mean. I mean, look, like you can easily be happy and not dim other people's circumstances and, you know, and flaunt what you have knowing that other people don't. And, you know, I can appreciate sex work being work, but I can't appreciate if that person is openly flaunting and trying to act better just because of their socioeconomic status, which, by the way, up until this whole OnlyFans thing started, she had no room to talk. She had no leg to stand on. So, you know, how the mighty fell. And then once they're seemingly back on top again, they're just itching for people to tear her down again. And you don't want a taste of that life again. You really don't.
Not at all. So, shuffling on from one Miss Stitch.
Stitch, by the way.
Stitch, sorry. Do you know anything about one Matt Cardone, a.k.a. former Long Island Ice Z, Zack Ryder?
Matt Cardona. Yeah. I mean, yes. I don't know. Like, I haven't heard any news about him. But what?
Well, I got some news. I got some news for you.
Well, then, like, chat me up.
All right.
What the heck is going on with Mr. With the former
Long Island Ice Z?
Yeah.
Let me tell you. So, believe it or not, I was able to text him not too long ago. I became a personal friend of his.
Wait, what? How so?
Well, here. Let me go back here, okay? As we all know, Mr. Cardone is a very prolific user in social media.
Yes.
He is. I mean, he is one of the best social media individuals out there. Smart, intellectual. He knows what the people want. Sure. He's able to give them what they want, too. I mean, his Long Island Ice Z series was phenomenal on YouTube, if you ever want to go check that out. So, I followed him on Instagram. Here's what he ended up doing. He put his personal cell phone number up on Instagram.
Was it on purpose?
It was totally on purpose. All right. He apparently, he joined something called Community. I've never heard of Community before. But put up his personal... It is a brand new one. He put up his own personable cell phone number, and he said to text him at any time. So I ended up texting him. And mind you, I was rather impressed because he did reply back. Now, mind you, as soon as he posted this, within like 18 seconds or 22 seconds, I saw it and I immediately texted him like, this is like one of the once-in-a-lifetime opportunities here. You sit here and you're going to get buried, so to speak.
Right.
Because you're never going to hear it back.
No.
And and I will tell you. I said to him, hey, Matt, what's the next big move? I'm from Rochester over here. Love how you connect with your fans, brother. Keep doing what you're doing. And he says, thanks, Justin. Waiting for this world to open back up and then going to take over the wrestling parts. Ha ha. I'm like, all right, cool. And then around 9:55, he texted me again. He said, you watching NXT or AEW? I'm watching both. Going back and forth, old school style. Ha ha. Big win for Chelsea on NXT, but Cody's issuing open challenge. Emoji eye, emoji eyes, emoji eyes.
Oh, so he's out here trying to foreshadow here. See, all right. So he's double dipping. You know, has to watch his fiance. I don't know if they're married yet. I'm not sure.
She's a fiance.
Okay, so you know, had to watch the fiance, but also you know had to stir the pot a little bit. Cody making that open challenge for the TNT championship. Is Zack Ryder or Matt Cardona going to show up? I'm not exactly sure. So it's smart, interesting play. He's always had the pulse on the IWC, you know, such as we're all one and we all agree on stuff, which we don't. He's always,
oh Lord, never.
No, but he's always had, kind of had that connection. And so it's an interesting move. And this will probably help him to create a little bit of groundswell of support. And, you know, try to recapture what, you know, just his height in 2011 and part of 2012.
Woo, woo, woo.
You know it.
I mean, it was great. I should have told him that he was part of my fantasy draft, too, and... Maybe next time I'll sit there and just shoot him a text and say, hey, you were part of my fantasy draft and you let me down.
Oh, you might not want to tell him that he let you down. But
however, if you want to sit there and try to reply to one former Ice Z, his phone number is...
Wait. Like, is the post still up?
Oh, yeah. It's on his Instagram.
Like, it's, like, even now, like, it's still up.
You know what? Here, hang on here. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get interactive here. I'm going to call this number right now.
Don't call the number.
I'm calling the number.
What are you doing? Do not call the number. What the hell is going on here?
Here you go. It's riveting stuff right now, isn't it?
Hey guys, it's me, always ready, Matt Cardona. Are you serious, bro? You're leaving a voicemail? Listen, come on, who checks their voicemails these days? Text me, baby. If you want to respond to me, shoot me a text, and I'll get back to you. And if I don't, keep texting me until I do. Thanks, guys.
See?
Okay, so it is official. Always ready, Matt Cardona. Wow. All right. You legit. Wow. Okay. So you can call him or no, you can text
him. You can text him.
Wow. That is dope. That is really dope. So fine, man. If you want to give out that information, I ain't going to be the one. So.
All right. If you want to get a hold of him, phone number is area code 407-250-9511. Again, area code 407-250-9511.
407, that's my neck of the woods, man. Like, that much. Hey. So there it is. There it is.
Wow. I mean, it was hilarious, too, because last night, here, I'll even play, because everybody thought it wasn't him responding back to his text messages, so he sent this one video out. It's a 10-second video, or 17-second video. Let me play this real quick.
Okay, sure thing.
Hey, guys, and for those who don't really think it's me, look, it's 10:18. It's 10:18. It's Wednesday night. This is a mass one. This is going to everybody, full disclosure. But keep texting, and eventually I will respond to you one-on-one. There's hundreds of messages, way more than I thought, so thanks, guys.
See?
It's legit. Wow. So that's really dope, man. You know, he's doing whatever he can and you know, and he's trying to make that connection again. And you know, like, it's really hard to come to grips with the fact that, you know, the true Long Island story was 9 years ago. Nine years ago. It's
sad. I remember talking about this with you 9 years ago.
I remember too, and the fact that it was that long ago, yeah, that it's a little, it kind of just grabs at your chest a little bit, like, oh man, it's been that long. But it's good to see him reclaiming, you know, this role as one of those, you know, working man's champion, you know, kind of, you know, like just the everyman. Every fan kind of character. So,
and he's always ready.
He's always ready. Always ready to respond to your texts, but not your phone calls.
This is right. Who leaves a voicemail, bro?
Nobody leaves a voicemail. So, wait. So like, you couldn't even leave a voicemail, like, even if you wanted?
Even if you wanted. No voicemail setup.
It just hung. It just hung up. Hey, look. That's cool.
Hey, respect
dude,
it.
Dude, he has to have, like, another phone, right? Like, you he know, has to.
He's probably got two phones. I don't know. Maybe he's got a burner. Maybe like it's an app. I don't know.
Like, he has to have a burner or something because, like, can you imagine if like, for instance, you know, like, Cody called him and, you know, and for whatever reason, he couldn't pick up. Like, bro, oh,
bro, just like, send me a DM. Or get a hold of Chelsea, one of the two.
That's true. Either one. But no, shout out to Matt Cardona, the former Zack Ryder, man. Good on you. Good on you. Nice transparency. You know it.
I mean, I had to share this news. All this information should have came out at the top of the show, and I forgot.
It's all good, man. It happens.
You know what? The top of the hour, top of the news stories. This plexiglass Raw arena octagonish hockey stadium-esque no sitting allowed arena. I think I covered all my bases with that.
I mean, yeah, dude. The there was some
heavy duty plexiglass, and you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of a hardcore sneeze guard at a salad bar.
I had to think about it for a second, but yes, that works. That is very.
It's a sneeze guard.
It's extremely accurate. Sit there. That's craziness.
I cannot wait, because there's going to be some ass who's going to sit there, launch a snot rocket completely at it, and just walk away by the end of the show too.
Ew.
It's coming. I can almost guarantee you that will happen.
Yo, that's gross, homie. Nah, that's that. I mean, like, it's totally gonna happen, but it's still gross. It's still gross.
I understand the reasoning for it, but you're literally now at a freaking hockey game, standing at this arena or in the arena. You are now locked inside of this cage with other people. And I don't understand. I don't know if this is what the future is going to be. I still believe that AEW has probably the better setup for everything, for how they have their fans or wrestlers sitting across, because at Double or Nothing, they still had fans there, and they were loud. They were in charge. But watching Raw was kind of like, it felt cool, but it's like, damn, these guys are standing for like 3 damn hours.
So, yeah, I think that's one of the things where, you know, with AEW, it feels more natural. Now, don't get it twisted. Like, those wrestlers in AEW, I'm sure, are absolutely coached. Just like these, you know, these Performance Center stars were. But, you know, just the idea where it's just more natural looking, because they're like they all had chairs on AEW. You know, they're you know, banging on the guardrails,
barricades,
and,
you know, yeah, yeah,
on the
yeah.
barricades. Like they're interacting with the talent. You know, here they are probably doing what is recommended as far as the social distancing. I mean, in the picture we have up on the, I don't believe it's a full 6 feet, but there,
you know, close enough.
It's close enough. It's, you know, man, it's fine enough. So while they're technically doing the correct thing,
who's in that photo too, real quick, not to sidetrack you.
Oh man.
Put you at the test right now.
Okay. So I'm not very close to my to be completely honest, I know the guy that is in the foreground. Okay. I don't recall his first name, but I believe his name is EJ, or his last name. I'm sorry, his first name is EJ. I can't.
Cottonwood. EJ Cottonwood?
No, man, I'm afraid not. I don't think, no. honestly, everybody else, I can't tell if the guy in the back, I know he was there. I can't tell if that's Swerve or not. That might be Swerve Scott. I know Shotzi Blackheart was also in the crowd as well.
Simone. Little Pebble.
Hey, speaking of which, I will be speaking with her. But yes, so yeah, she was there. So generally speaking, on camera they had, wrestlers who typically, they don't really get any TV time on, even on NXT. They are Performance Center recruits. They are, those who are being, trained, and they're, either not quite ready for TV yet, or they are saving them, so they can make, make a big splash. I'll be honest, I didn't really watch a lot of Raw. I know what happened, but I didn't really watch a lot of it. So you're putting me on the spot, and unfortunately, I am unprepared to answer the question of who was in the crowd, because I wasn't watching it, which is the same as a lot of people. Because Raw had the second lowest rating in history. Go figure.
No, really?
Shocking, right? Absolutely shocking. Who'd have thunk it?
But what's your take, though, on the Sneeze Guard Arena?
So, look, the aesthetics of it, I don't... It's not bad, I guess. You could. I did watch NXT, and so I've seen it in use in practice, and even with the crowd, you don't really see them. They don't really pan to the crowd like that. Even like in AEW, so. The wrestlers legitimately feel like extras because of this sneeze guard, as you call it. It felt like a hockey game, and not really in a good way. It just seemed too sterile. And, people have had this same critique for a very long time, that for a show called Raw, it is very sterile. And, so sterile that you have a sneeze guard. It's different, but I think this might be the best they'll do for as long as we're in this quarantine situation.
I mean, it is what it is. That's just my opinion. It's just a big giant sneeze guard.
Yeah, like that's exactly
what I want to see a salad bar. I want to see someone get thrown through the salad bar.
Hey, real quick, speaking of salad bars and like buffets and stuff, man, I gotta send a huge shout out to Soup Plantation or Sweet Tomatoes, whatever you may know it as. I don't know if you had any out there, but they are really, so they're apparently going out of business. Because, once things get back to normal, whatever that looks like, I'm pretty sure there's, no room for buffets and kind of salad bar setups like that. And they announced it a few weeks ago, and I didn't get a chance to publicly acknowledge it here on the show. But shout out to Sweet Tomatoes. It was Mrs. Cruz's, one of her favorite spots. So, just got to... had to throw it out there.
Hey, our local Denny's are shutting down around here, like all five of them.
Are you serious?
Yep. No more Denny's for us out here.
Why the Denny's? It's delicious.
Yeah, I love Denny's, man.
Yo, the zesty nachos, magnifique.
I love their slam burger, whatever it's called, with the fried egg on top too, and. Because it's like breakfast and dinner all rolled into one right there. It's like, it's the perfect combination, in my opinion.
So, I'm not a big fried egg fan, but I can appreciate it. It, like, sometimes, like just every now and then I'll like I'll have it and it's like, oh, this is good. Yeah. So, but dude, bummer. Huge bummer. And yeah. now you're like making me wonder about my local Denny's too, man. I don't know if, you know, if ours are going to be still intact too. So
I think it's just a Rochester thing in all seriousness.
I don't know, man. Who knows in this climate?
But with that too, we spoke about also at the top of the hour about who has my horse.
Yeah. Yes. So please explain this title to me, because when you said it, I was like, what gives? I'm guessing it probably has to do with Hangman Adam Page. With
Hangman Page. Yes. Hangman Adam Page. I've becoming a bigger and bigger and bigger fan of Mr. Page. Almost every time I see him, he's a phenomenal individual. And as we're going to be pulling up in a few moments, at the Stadium Stampede in was Jacksonville Stadium. I forget the name of it.
TIAA Bank Stadium.
Thank you.
I don't know why I know that, but I do. So you're welcome, America.
AEW had their... I consider this like their WrestleMania pay-per-view, don't you?
I mean, yeah, man. It seems like Double or Nothing, like that's their big... Like, I mean, technically, that was their first show. So, yes, Double or Nothing, that is their WrestleMania.
And during this match, the most memorable portion of the whole match is Hangman Adam Page coming out in stirrups, wearing a social distancing mask, riding a horse through the arena, through the stadium, down the football field.
I mean,
chasing one Sammy Guevara.
Look at that mane and the horse as well. Like it just well, look at the at how majestic the Hangman is. Like just coming in like a conquering hero. That is fantastic.
Well, if you also look at him too, look at the horse. Look at the tail.
Huh?
Right there. Got a nice black tail, right?
That's right.
Now look at that mane up there. It's a nice blonde mane.
And just the best of both worlds there.
And Michael Jackson said it best, you're either black or white.
I think you might have missed the point of the song, but yeah, something like that. Yes, it's
I'm just calling it like I see it right now.
Somebody has to in this you know, man, in this time, I guess. But no, that is fantastic. I was telling you this off the air, you know, I have yet to watch Double or Nothing. I have it, you know, at my disposal, and I could watch it at any time. I might just have to set aside the time and watch it tomorrow, because I'm hearing nothing but great things about Stadium Stampede and the pay-per-view overall. This match looked insane. Those 10 guys went out there and just like just from highlights, it looked insane. It looked crazy, but damn entertaining. And that's dope. That's really all you could ask for.
Well, I got through half of it, and I will say the match so far that has stood out the absolute best was MJF versus Jungle Boy.
So I hear so much about that match, and I'm like, I don't see all the hype with MJF. He's a guy who can string words together. And I think so few indie guys, I'm not saying so few indie guys can do it, because that's not correct. I think that there are, that the indie guys that we normally see and those that that are, you know, kind of a certain generation, their mic skills were kind of underrated. And so now when you have, you know, an indie wrestler like MJF go, you know, from the indies to MLW to AEW, and, you know, like, that is his main trait, is, you know, is his talking ability. Is his talking ability? Sure. You know, he's capable at working heel in the ring, but if talking is your main trait, as an indie worker, you really don't see that. And so I think people just buy into that hype. Will he grow into something great? It's possible. But as of right now, I'm not on the MJF train. I get it. He's young, and so is Jungle Boy. So you're going to have matches to put, you know, your younger stars, you know, just put them in positions to elevate them, to make them shine. And clearly MJF and Jungle Boy are going to factor into AEW's plans for years to come. But as of right now,
Watch the match, though. The match
okay.
was a damn good back and forth. Now, let me tell you something about this match real quick here.
Okay.
Or at least how I was watching it. So right. I was over at my buddy's apartment watching this, and he is not a wrestling fan.
Sure.
Because he asked me, he said, what do you want to watch if we hang out? And I said, well, this is the Sunday. I said, AEW just had their pay-per-view. He's a Jags fan, so they have the stadium at TIAA Stadium, and he was all for it. So he's like, all right, let me see the old stomping grounds real quick, real fast. All right, cool. So we're sitting down. We're watching the MJF Jungle Boy match, and he's sitting there, and he's watching it. He's watching it, and you can slowly see him getting into it. And when... can I spoil it or no?
Oh, it's fine. Yeah. All right.
So MJF wins. And he looked at me and he went, you know what? I was hoping for the little guy to win. Because they told that good of a story to him. Guy who doesn't even care, give to a rat's ass about professional wrestling, was invested in this one match. So, to me, from somebody who has a perspective of zero wrestling knowledge, these two put on a hell of a match for him to be engaged to watch and have to pick his own winner that he wanted to see win.
It's substantial. I'm not going to discount that. I believe that. Look. A lot of people are saying it was a really good match. I can't judge it because I haven't seen it. And, you know, I'm willing to give anything a shot, even Impact. But, you know, both men are really, really raw. And
oh, yeah. They even mentioned that, too. And they said how little experience that they both have. I wouldn't say experience. I would say call-up time together.
Sure.
I mean, they put on a hell of a show for what little call-up time and production and what they're looking for. But what they were able to perform in that match was just it was really, really good. And I look forward to seeing these two go at it one more time.
Oh, I'm sure that the plan is for those two to end up being, you know, Rockin' Austin or, you know, Cena Orton or, you know, Flair Dusty or, just the great rivalry of the company for years to come. Because, yeah, I think what... Isn't Jungle Boy only like 20, what, like 24?
22?
No.
Something like that.
Like, yeah, so, Jungle Boy is like 22 or 23. I think MJF is only 20. I think he's 24, right?
Yes.
he's super, like, they're both extremely young. Like, it's crazy to think, but Aubrey Edwards in that picture there, she's the oldest one in the ring. And that is,
yeah,
and that is crazy to think about, because she's, like, she's fairly young herself. So that is, you know, like, you could be looking at the future of AEW in 10 years even. This is insane. It is insane, but I'll check it out.
They were, the announcers were quick to tote, too, that Jungle Boy is somehow related to Luke Perry.
Did JR have some kind of smart-ass remark about it? Because it sounds like that would be his time to chime in and be his regular old grumpy JR self.
No, he was actually on the up and up. They actually had really good chemistry this whole entire pay-per-view, at least as far as I saw it.
Who's on commentary? Was it the regular Dynamite crew? Was it Excalibur, Tony, and JR?
You know it.
Yeah, yeah. That's good, man. Look, I'm going to watch this regardless. I have to give a huge shout out because he's my guy. He's a California guy. Brian Cage debuted.
Oh, that man was a monster.
Yeah, so Brian Cage, now a part of All Elite Wrestling, and he is the holder of the...
Poker chip.
So, yeah... I didn't know if they had an official name, but the poker chip.
It's just a poker chip. I don't know if they had an original name for it or whatnot, but watching that ladder match and watching Orange Cassidy do what Orange Cassidy does best, which is nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was probably one of the best highlights I thought throughout the whole, at least for that first half of that whole pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And him just dealing with whatever it was. And just him just being Orange was great. A+.
So it was Orange Cassidy. I know Phoenix had to get replaced last minute. That was the other name that we actually didn't get to last week, because we talked about injuries sustained, one by Britt Baker, one I believe it was Nick Jackson, and
yep,
and then Phoenix was the other one who took a nasty bump on Dynamite 8 days ago. And so Joey Janela came in and replaced him. I'm sure he did some super crazy spots, as I'm sure everybody did. And then Cage came in. I would imagine he's the biggest guy in the match. He had to be.
Oh, yeah, he was. The cool couple spots with him, too, which my buddy was like, that's pretty cool on how they did that.
Hey, Cage is one of those guys, and I'm just going to throw out a cheap plug. For you folks, the latest edition of PCW Ultra Mutiny, which I host and produce and all that stuff, it has Brian Cage on it. So you can check out PCW Ultra's YouTube page or watch every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on Fight TV. Check out PCW Mutiny anytime on YouTube or on Fight TV, wherever you feel free to catch us. But it has Brian Cage making his Ultra debut back in 2016. And I remember seeing him even before that for the very first time in 2010. And he was huge. He was massive. But he was pulling off the most ridiculous stuff, doing 619s, pulling out Hurricanranas, all these crazy things that you wouldn't expect a big guy to do. And so Cage is a welcome addition to the roster. I know they have Luchasaurus. I know they have Jake Hager. I know they have...
Hey, you try to explain Luchasaurus to your buddy who's never seen professional wrestling before. That was a real treat right there.
I was going to ask, yeah, how did that conversation go? How'd you end up doing it?
I looked at him and I said, don't even ask.
That's probably the way to do it.
Just roll with it. And I told him, I said, I can explain everything to you, but we would have to stop, pause it, and I would take about 15 to 20 minutes to get you caught up and everything. So let's just go with this ride that we have together.
just go along with it, because I don't even know if I could explain Luchasaurus. He's a unique story. That's what I'll say.
I want to touch back on Joey Janela here.
All right. Yeah.
The bad boy, the supposed bad boy. It just a quick quote. So my buddy, bless him, he saw him come out, and he gave a reference to. he said, "You know who that dude looks like?" I said.
Said, can't be good.
No, I don't know. What does the bad boy of AEW look like? And he said, he looks like he is the supposed love child between Sammy Hagar and Guy Fieri.
So Sammy Hagar, I could see. Guy Fieri?
Guy Fieri, excuse me.
He
came out to like the whole West Coast, bruh, gonna put some donkey sauce on it.
Oh, geez. Okay. Well, it might just be one of those things where I have to watch it again, but for the first time, because I don't get the guy part. But if I see it, then I might be able to agree with that. I'm not sure, but
I mean. That's the quote right there. I heard it. I died for a couple moments, and I went, okay. I mean, like I said, he's not into professional wrestling. It's just something that we can actually freaking watch because it's sports.
Dude.
For the love of God, it's sports.
Dude, it is rough out here. Dude, like we, you know, this household was sitting and waiting for Sunday nights to come for like the past 5 weeks. To watch The Last Dance, to watch that Michael Jordan documentary, because we needed something, and you know, because wrestling wasn't even cutting it, and so I get it. You want to watch something, even if it's not necessarily live. You want appointment viewing, and Double or Nothing, you know, kind of hit that, or it fit that bill, and so I'm gonna watch it, and I will, you know, I know. Most of what happened, but not everything. So I still have a few matches that I could sit back and anticipate and you know, just get fully invested in. And so I can't wait to do it, because that's been seriously missing.
I mean, I can't wait to explain the supposed alien on AEW.
Chris Statlander.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, she's
from out of this world.
Yeah, she's from the, oh, what is Excalibur I'll always say? The Andromeda Galaxy?
There you go, yes.
There's a picture of good old Stat. Good old Stat. Hold on a second. Just give me one moment here.
Oh, I'm waiting for this one.
I mean, no, like it's just a regular promo pic, like it's nothing special. There you go.
And make sure, ladies and gentlemen, to view us on YouTube too, so you can follow along with all these great pictures that we're putting up too.
Absolutely. So go to youtube.com/theatomicdropshow. Throw that the on there, or the however you say it, the THE. Atomic Drop Show, youtube.com/THE Atomic Drop Show, and watch us as we live stream, so you could see wonderful pictures of Chris Statlander, like this one. I am a huge fan. I am trying to be professional, especially in lieu of other podcasters saying crappy things about Alexa Bliss and all kinds of.
Yeah.
Yo, wrestling Twitter has been insane the past, really the past week. Shazzy McKenzie lost her damn mind. You got JD from New York being a dick.
Don't get me started on that dude.
Yeah, so I think I think I watched like maybe 10 minutes of one of his videos. But I think I've watched it maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. Like he's
not even worth the breath, man.
He's really not. So I am instead focusing on Chris Statlander and you know, positive, you know, positive, unique characters that AEW, which yes, if WWE had an alien character, they would get ripped to shreds.
It would be on the Sci-Fi Channel.
If WWE had a dinosaur, they get ripped to shreds. They had the zombie. They had the, okay, who was the second guy? Because there was the zombie who everybody
remembers the first.
Right, but the second week, it was somebody like just as bad, but not the zombie. It was somebody that the Sandman just came and beat up as well. I can't think of his name or can't think of the gimmick.
Oh yeah, let me look it up real quick.
I am not sure.
My computer is going too slow.
Hey, it's no worries. It is no worries. But yes, this was back in the good old days of the relaunch WWECW, and the Sandman was going out and caning folks, caning sci-fi characters. Yet we never got that huge anticipated showdown between the Sandman and Kevin Thorne, like the vampire. No. Like you would think that would have been the blow off to the feud.
You would have thought so.
Once again, go figure. It was the zombie. The first week was a zombie. The second week was like,
was it like a mummy or something?
I thought that, no, it was Macho Libre.
Macho Libre.
You don't remember where it was a guy dressed up in a,
oh yeah, I'm looking at him right now.
Yeah, Macho Libre. I'll have to find a picture too to show our viewers here, but yeah, Macho Libre. I'm pretty sure that was the second guy.
Tony DeVito.
So actually he was an ECW original as well. And
let's see here, a little quick. DeVito back was part of WWF through 92 through 96. He was enhancement talent, taking losses to Perfect, Bam Bam, Doink, and Fantismo. I can't talk tonight.
So like every night?
Yeah, it's a little bit worse.
Hey, look, man, I'm one to talk to. You know, man, I'm over here stuttering and stammering too, but you know.
All right. So DeVito made two appearances, WWE. One was Macho Libre, a parody of reference of Jack Black's titular character. Oh, look at you.
Macho Libre, baby.
And Macho Man losing to Sandman and Squash. And on July 4th, he reappeared as a folks preacher who verbally rallied against ECW until being attacked by the Sandman.
Oh, I believe I remember that. ECW, yeah, he was like a preacher. Yeah, like a priest.
Yeah, I remember the preacher. He was like ringside, and he got into the ring and all this other hullabaloo.
Fortunately, I'm not seeing, I'm not finding a picture for it, but I do remember that moment.
All remember that moment.
Yeah, but hey, this is what I remember him as. Least of those two particular appearances, Macho Libre. Dude had a really accomplished career as a member of the Baldies. It was him and Vic Grimes and, oh, part of the Baldies as well. Tony DeVito, Vic Grimes, and, oh, it's going to kill me, and I can't think of it. And I'm going to think of it as soon as we get off the air. As soon as we get off the air, but hey,
that's how it always goes.
That's how it always goes. But yeah, man, good times, good times.
Now, as you said, with every good, there is some bad.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I need to finish the Double or Nothing pay-per-view before we hear from one Mr. James E. Cornette.
Still talking about this guy?
You know, I missed,
do we really need to... Okay, all right, what's the
deal?
I don't know.
You know, I... That photo gets me every time.
Oh, yeah. He's a clown.
Mr. Cornette said some unflavorful things about the Stadium Stampede pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yeah, he apparently called out a lot of people. He called out really like all of just everybody involved in AEW. He called out Matt Hardy for being a part of it. He said Jim Ross is losing his credibility. So is Tony Schiavone for having to call things like the Stadium Stampede and just Matt Hardy's antics. You know, Jim Cornette is, you know, he's had no trouble ever burning bridges, but it seems like over the last like year, he's gone into overdrive, doing everything he can to crap on WWE talent, AEW talent, people in Impact. He's gone after people in Ring of Honor, like just historically. I mean, he's going after all the major indies, everybody.
Let me give a quick quote here.
Please do.
I want to finish the pay-per-view and then listen to his podcast so I can fully digest. But a sample of what he says is, quote, on how he ashamed of everyone involved in the match. And I quote, "I will never watch this fucking shit again. Fuck all you people. I'm ashamed of Matt Hardy. I'm ashamed of Tony Schiavone. I'm ashamed of Jim Ross for not walking out on this. I'm ashamed of everybody involved in it. And it's the last time I'll be fucking watching this horseshit. And Tony Khan can take his sports-based presentation and shove it up his fucking ass. They are all fucking morons for doing this. I'm disappointed in all of them. I do not want to see them personally again because I have to tell them. I don't want to see them professionally again because I don't want to see anybody involved in this shit ever again." And he also continues to say if this is what wrestling is, it needs to die. Quote, "If this is what wrestling is now, it needs to die. Leave it alone and let it go. If you can't bring it back, you're just going to fucking piss on fucking rotting corpses. Let it go. Find something else to do with your fucking lives like I have, because I'm too embarrassed to be involved with these people in this industry because of shit like this."
So, you know, if you're that frustrated, don't watch. If you're that frustrated, just leave the wrestling business altogether. That's my thing. Like, look, you have all these tapes, you know, you have all these tapes that you freaking found in a garbage can. You know, like, you're selling all these, you know, all these old classic wrestling tapes. You have all the old PWIs, all the old Inside Wrestlings. Like, your house is a monument to professional wrestling. You have all this knowledge. You have, you know, all this stuff at your fingertips. You have videotapes. You have the WWE Network. You have countless DVDs. You have countless documentaries. You have everything you need to watch the wrestling you want. Watch the kind of product you want. If you want to sit back and reminisce about the Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express, Dennis Condrey, everybody, all that, like, if you want to reminisce it, and I get it. That was a great era, a fantastic era of professional wrestling. I get it. But if you want to go back to that era, if you want things to mirror that era, look, I'm sorry. There's one of, like, we're not in that time anymore. So if that is the only way you can enjoy wrestling, it's fine. That is your prerogative, like Bobby Brown said. But still, you have to respect that it might not be everybody's cup of tea, and that, you know, in a lot of ways, a lot of mainstream wrestling has passed you by. And that's fine. Go back to what you know. Go back to what you love. It's a free country, you know? Like, I know Jim Cornette is all about, you know, free will and free choice and all that kind of stuff, and that is awesome. Extend that to wrestling fans. Extend that to wrestling executives. Extend that to wrestlers. Extend it to announcers. Extend it to everybody that you bitch and moan about every single week. That's the only thing you have to do. Go back to the wrestling you want, and nobody will judge you. It's okay. But stop shitting on everybody else for having a different opinion, for having a different kind of interest, for having anything that even slightly veers off from your supposed perfect vision of professional wrestling. Because at the end of the day, if it's drawing money, it's successful. If it draws a crowd, it's successful. If it draws buzz, it's successful. I'm not the biggest Joey Ryan fan. It seems like I say that every time Jim Cornette comes up. But I'm not his fan. But he still makes money. He's still popular. He still sells merch. He still gets views on YouTube. He has a contract. There's all these different things, all these measurable, tangible things that equal success. But if Jim Cornette says, oh, no, he's making wrestling look fake, then all of a sudden, it just makes that style of wrestling invalid. Nah, son. I'm sorry. There isn't a damn thing serious about a grown-ass man still to this day in his 70s carrying around a freaking tennis racket, a loaded tennis racket. How is that any better than something like the Stadium Stampede or something like Matt Hardy teleporting or Joey Ryan doing a dick flip? There's levels to it, and there are different fans for different kinds of wrestling. And if he, of all people, can't respect that, then he needs to get the hell out.
Okay. You're out, mic drop.
I'm off my soapbox now.
Yeah, I didn't anticipate all that. I just wanted to quote him there.
Look, man, every time you get Jim Cornette on the, you know.
Like, man's been on fire the last several weeks.
He's going to set himself on fire.
Yeah, no shit. He'd probably enjoy it, too. He'd get himself over more.
I don't think he has any problem getting himself over. He's perfectly over as the guy who's, you know, as the old curmudgeon. Okay, he's the Abraham Simpson star of this shit. That's what he is.
I like it.
Old man yells at cloud. Like, that's pretty much, like, that is the newspaper headline you know, whenever it's time for Mr. James E. Cornette, it's just random old man yells and is irrationally angry at all times.
All right, I think we've touched on everything now.
Just about. Got to give a huge shout out. And wait, man, I'm gonna get this guy off my screen, man. I don't want him.
All right, see you, Corny.
Okay, where?
Put something happy up there.
Oh,
something happy, cheerful, makes us all happy.
As
I drink from my circle.
Something that makes you happy.
Something that makes me happy.
You can't put me on the spot like this.
In the meantime, who makes me happy?
What?
Curtis Axel makes me happy.
Well, yeah, but
no apparent reason.
Yeah, but he's no longer in WWE either. So
does it matter?
I guess not. Let me get him up on the screen. Just give me a second here. Give me a second. Curtis. Oh yeah. Curtis Axel. Axelmania,
baby.
Axelmania is running wild. Here we go. Yeah, buddy. Let's get that in there.
Axelmania. Yeah, much better.
Axelmania. How about that?
Thank you. That makes me happy.
Very good. Very good there. Yeah, man. I really quick have to give a huge shout out to Apollo. Won his first championship in WWE.
Hey, Apollo.
This past Monday night on Raw. I remember. And, you know, he had that match against Ty Dillinger at the time. And, you know, he was poised to be this big star. And then he got called up like way too early. And so he never really got a chance to shine like he should in NXT. And, you know, and so he kind of just, once he moved to the main roster, he floundered a little bit. Not a little bit. He floundered a lot. But I'm glad he's, you know, he's gotten a chance and he's shown a lot of fire in these last few, you know, weeks and months here on Raw. And out to him, man, doing big things. Hope nothing but the best for him.
There you go. Big shout out to Apollo, baby.
Yes, sir. Let's go, Apollo. What else is there, man? I don't know if there's anything else necessarily.
Reload Rub and Seasoning.com. Atomic Drop. Save yourself 10%.
10%? What are you doing? Save. Go to ReloadRub.com right now. I'm telling you, transform. Now, like, I always get the slogan wrong. So you'll have to supply me with the slogan because I'm terrible at these things.
Okay. Reload your life.
Thank you. Because I was going to be like, I'll always say something like season your meat, something like that. But no, reload your life.
spice up your meat.
Spice up your meat. No.
Those are rejected ones, I'm sure, that they used.
Yes. Those should have never seen the light of day. But shout out to Joel and Stacy. Incredible people. And they are dang knowledgeable. They know what the heck they're doing. They know how to make a good rub and how to take whatever you are making to the next level. Whether you're on the grill, whether you're using the smoker, whether you are doing some pan frying, no matter what you do, Reload Rub, that's the way to go. So hit them up.
Yep. Don't forget to check out Circle, Drink Circle, CIRKUL.com. Get unofficial sponsor of the Atomic Drop Show. Go there. $5 for shipping. Free trial pack. Give you two flavors. It's like mixed berry and a fruit punch. Right now I'm currently on the mixed berry. Give it a shot. $5. Got nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose at all. Absolutely.
And that's pretty much all I got left to say.
Hey, Curtis Axel, you have anything else to say?
Nope.
I'm guessing that's a no. Okay.
Yeah, it's a no.
That's a big no from Curtis Axel. That's perfectly fine. It happens.
All right. For Kyle Cruz, this is Justin Time, and we will catch you next week in 7 days.
Yes, sir.
See ya. Go, 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 go